Hi, and welcome to the Indie Music Podcast, the podcast for independent musicians and other music professionals. We're your hosts, myself, Matt Denton, also known as Mojo, of Ragged Birds Music. I'm a recording artist and mix engineer. And Douglas Reynolds of Resonance Studio, a mastering and recording engineer. All right, hi, welcome to the Indie Music Chat. Mojo here with Doug and our special guest today, Alex Winters.
Hello, Alex.
Hello.
Alex is a singer-songwriter of the electric type who sings some very cool, emotional rock songs. How are you doing today, Alex?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
So you live in Texas, yeah? Just you told me north of Austin?
Yep, just outside a little town called Georgetown.
And does it get crazy around this time of year normally with South by Southwest?
Well, not in Georgetown.
Not in Georgetown.
We're far enough away from the craziness. But
it doesn't spill over.
Yeah, not so much. I mean, people come here because they don't want to go to Austin. So.
And do you normally make it down there?
To South By?
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I like to volunteer. I usually volunteer a bulk of the time during the education week, which is supposed to be next week.
Okay.
They have now canceled South by Southwest officially.
Right. Yeah.
So that's not happening. But what I like to do is I like to volunteer that first week. And then the week after, you can get a badge for volunteering so many hours. And so I do that so that I can get free entrance into the conference itself and the music events and stuff. And then I can enjoy the conference as an attendee.
Is there any discussion of rescheduling or is it just canceled this year?
They had talked about trying to do it like electronically, but I feel like that is such a large task to take on that they probably won't be able to execute that in time, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that'd be a huge ramp up if they would plan to do like online conferences as well as maybe live streaming events from different locations.
Yeah, and they'd already do a lot of live streaming, like when you're at the conference, they live stream a lot of like the big presentations. But there's a lot of little stuff that happens too throughout the day that they record them, but they don't live stream them. So.
Huh. Well, I guess I forgot that it was a conference. All I ever hear about are the bands that play there.
Yeah, it's a huge conference. Yeah.
So have you ever been there to play?
Yes. Yeah. I usually get a few showcases.
And a showcase means, well, you get to play as you get a byline and everything.
So usually the showcases are festival style. So you usually you'll get a 30-minute spot to showcase you and or your band. It just depends on what showcase it is. There's a lot of official stuff, which I haven't been accepted for yet, but there's also a lot of unofficial stuff that local bars and companies hold that you can submit to. And I usually pick up a few of those kinds of showcases. So
that's really cool.
There's like a main registration area for South by Southwest. You could go into their website and register. I'd like to attend the conference. So you could register it as an attendee.
Yep.
But if you're a performer, well, obviously you just said that you volunteer. So you are helping with services and volunteering in the education area. So there's sessions that are around teaching some type of various topics and things like that, around performing and music and things like that.
Yeah. So the first week is all education related, and it's really interesting. Last year, I did a bunch of the classes, you know, as a volunteer. I was able to be in the room, and it was anything from video production to roundtable discussions about laws, how to promote diversity within universities, how to empower more women to start businesses. It was really, really not just like how to teach classes, you know, or something like that. It's a really wide range of topics that they cover. And then after education week is over, there's a whole nother, 10 days of conference that is, film and video games and music. And they talk a lot about video production. They talk about how to storyboard stuff. I took a class on merchandise, like how to do proper merch table. there, I did one, I was in a class that talked about self-care, like yoga. There was a, there's a lady here in Austin, her name's Adrian, and she does a wonderful YouTube series called Yoga with Adrian. And I attended one of her classes about how to, you know, what, why they started their practice and why they chose YouTube as their format. And it was really interesting. It was like from the business side of starting a YouTube channel for yoga. It was super interesting.
Well, I'm not kidding. I just ran across her channel last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You do yoga, huh?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I love it.
So that's from kind of the attendee side. So, and a little bit that you just hit on from the presenter side.
Very, very little. Yeah.
And then there's also a performer side to that. Getting involved as a performer is going to be a submission process of what you'd be performing, or you'd be working through local businesses that you, that they're entering as their showcases and things like that.
Yeah,
is that how it, that works?
It's very similar to submitting to a festival of any kind. Really, you go onto their website or their, you find their Google form or whatever it is, however they want you to submit, and then you go fill out your information, and then usually there's a small fee just to, you know, weed out the people who aren't serious. You can, which can be anywhere from like $10 to $55. 55 is not very small to me, but I think that's the largest dollar sum I've seen for a submission. But
really,
yeah. And then you go, they go through a selection process.
Yeah, so I mean, it's really affordable to be a involved in it. Then, what's the ticket cost to attend?
Well, wristbands start, I think, at around $800.
Ooh. Wow. Okay, so that's
and if you want to attend, that's just for just for music. This is why I volunteer, guys.
But you know, that's pretty typical of other types of conferences, you know, for different...
Well, that's just for music. If you want to attend the conference, it's like $1,800.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Does that include hotel?
Nope.
Nope. Mm. So that's just the attendance, and then hotel is extra. Do they offer discounts for like the conference hotels and stuff like that?
They probably do. I, since I live so close, I don't ever deal with lodging.
Oh, sure.
So
makes sense.
But they might.
Well, that's cool. I actually had no idea it was so so involved and so expansive.
Yeah, it's humongous. And I honestly think that probably the hotels and everything jack up their prices during South by, as opposed to getting a discount.
They do that around here for every conference.
Yeah. So I mean, sometimes the conference actually has hotel relationships.
Yeah.
And,
they, you know, and then they offer rooms.
They'll buy, they'll buy a block of rooms that you can get at a discounted.
Yeah.
Right.
Very cool.
So what sounds like it'd be really great for creatives and musicians, especially if they have the opportunity to perform. And so how do you see the networking opportunities in conference venues like that? Does that, is that something that that you think is important to you in your own music promotion?
I think the networking opportunity is the only reason to do it. I mean, the workshops and stuff are really good. It's, you know, it's high level people doing high level things like Facebook and Instagram. And last year I saw a talk between Shirley Manson and the chick from Churches, whose name escapes me right now. But they just, they did like a back and forth talking about women coming up in the music industry and struggles that they had to deal with. And that was really inspiring for me as a woman in the music business. And I, you know, I've been in it a long time now, but I'm certainly not hit that level yet. So it was really phenomenal to hear those two talk about their experiences. And last year I always tried to do this, but last year I made a big point to connect with people online who I thought might be coming, people who were speaking, and reaching out to them and going, you know, hey, I see you're coming to South By. I would love to connect if we can, you know, make our schedules match up. And I actually connected with a bunch of people. Some of them I only knew online last year. And it was really fun. We ended up like becoming conference buddies and just hanging out the whole time.
Yeah, that makes conferences so much better.
It does. Cool. It does.
Well, speaking of the old days, Alex, I've known you quite a while, but when we first, quote unquote, met online, you were still working a day job and pursuing music part-time. But since then, you somehow made the transition to doing music full-time. How did that all work out?
Well, I slowly transitioned to being poor. I used to have a very good job, very good corporate job, working customer support for a software company. And when my partner and I started talking about, we always have these conversations, these really big conversations about our dreams and what would our life be like if we did things differently. And, one day I was just like, I really wonder what it would be like if I could devote like all of my time to music. Like, what would that look like? And would it be fun or would it suck? But I really wanted to explore that. And she was like, let's do it. And I was like, wow. What? So
I'm interested in, do you treat it like a job? Do you show up and work 8 hours at your music every day, Monday through Friday?
I wish that was a thing, but that is not a thing. There's not an 8-hour shift. It's not shift work. And that's one of the things when I first went full time, I thought that was what I was going to do, because I'm a taskmaster. I'm a master of to-do lists and planning and mapping out my time. And I kept trying to do all the things and trying to do them in certain hours of the day, and it just didn't work. I would either.
Now, is that because it's trained to force creativity, or, what is it that doesn't work?
The thing that doesn't work is that musicianship happens nights and weekends. It doesn't happen 8 to 5. If you're a gigging musician.
Yeah, I was thinking more in terms of writing or production work and things like that.
So writing for me is sparse. I like to do it in 2-hour blocks. It doesn't matter like what time of day for me. It's time blocking. Like I'll go, I have time on Tuesday to go. I try to do it on Thursdays. Like that's like my quote studio day, but it doesn't always happen. But I try to like block 2 hours out and go, okay, I'm just going to do something for 2 hours on this day. And then whatever happens, happens. And most of the time it's a productive session, which is great, but as you know, sometimes the creative bug is not always present when you are.
Yeah. Right. We're all familiar with
that. I totally get it on the performance side. I mean, that's, that's dependent upon venues, and that's dependent upon other musicians and their schedules and rehearsal times and things like that. So.
Yeah. And then just to interject on that too, like the thing that I didn't realize early on was that you can't work 8 to 5 or 8 to 7, which is more like what I was trying to do, and then gig Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and sometimes on Sunday. That's...
Sure.
You're killing yourself. It's just from an energy management standpoint, it doesn't work. And you burn yourself out. I burnt myself out, and then I don't do anything for like 3 or 4 weeks. I just check out. Because it's more than your brain and your body can manage, you know?
Right, it's too much output, not enough input, right?
Right, you don't get enough downtime, and you don't when you're always working on something, you don't give your brain a chance to rest or wander, which is really important for the creative process.
I agree. Yeah, that's we talked about that on the phone recently, and then Doug and I did our whole show last week about taking care of yourself as a creative person and how to just like live a healthier life and give yourself downtime and all of that stuff. So yeah, it's super important, but I think you're right. I mean, when you're trying to do huge blocks of time and then go out at night and gig, that's why, like working a double shift, and you are going to just, it's not going to work. But it's interesting to hear you put it that way in terms of not being able to do the large blocks of time that people who don't have that opportunity kind of picture it as.
Mm-hmm.
It does need to be more piecemeal. Like today I'm going to do this task, and then tomorrow I'm going to do that task, and not so much that I'm going to sit down for 8 hours and crank out a website and write a song and record something. I mean, yeah, and then go gig tonight.
It doesn't work that way. And I just quit. I actually just recently quit trying to do things on gig days. Like I used to try to. Okay, I'm just gonna take care of. I'm gonna work for like 2 hours, and then I'll start getting ready for the gig or whatever. And I sat down one day and I counted out how many hours from the time I start getting ready to the time I actually get home and finish my accounting. Because, you know, sure, the gig is done, you know, last note is played, but then you still got to tear down, you got to drive home, I got to do my accounting that night. Otherwise, I forget to do it. And that's really important to me, to track my income and, attendance and tips and all that stuff. I'm hyper anal about that. And
it's good, though.
Yeah, no, it's good. You got to know where you're at so you know if you're growing or not, right?
Right.
So my shift when I do a 3-hour gig is 8 to 10 hours.
Wow.
So why am I trying to cram 2 or 3 or 4 hours worth of computer work in on that too? Yeah, that's a full day.
Right. Then you're working like a 14, 15-hour day.
It's not maintainable long term. Sure, you can do it every now and then, but.
So. Do you get any help with any of that stuff? Like not the teardown. I mean, I imagine everybody pitches in for that, but like the accounting stuff, or do you kind of do that yourself?
I do a lot of stuff myself. I do part of my South by Southwest last year was I met my manager last year, which was really exciting. And so she helps me with planning and like, not execution necessarily, but planning out like marketing ideas and release schedules and stuff like that. So I have help with planning and accountability, but as far as like the day-to-day stuff, it's pretty much all me. I do my own graphics design. I do all my own data entry. I do all my own accounting.
Yeah, that adds up.
Plus running the band. And I'm also the musical director for the band and doing the booking and all that stuff too. So at some point I have to put the computer away and actually pick up my guitar, you know, like figure stuff out.
That's a lot of hats to wear.
What's the name of your band?
It's just Alex Winter's Band.
Okay. And where can they find all that work that you do outside of gigging?
AlexWintersMusic.com. That is the hub of my empire.
There you go.
One-stop shopping.
So now it's a true band now. It used to be, I think you mentioned the other day, that it used to be you would hire musicians to play with you, but now it's like a band.
Yeah, when I first started doing the solo stuff as Alex Winters, I occasionally would have need for a band, and I would build a band every single time. And that was extremely stressful, and I housed a lot of anxiety over, you know, who was going to show up to rehearsal and how the gig was going to go. Because if you don't rehearse regularly with the same people, you don't ever get really tight. And
right,
these musicians were top notch and they could sit in and follow really well, but they were following me. They didn't know their parts, if that makes sense. And
yeah,
so I decided, I guess a year ago ish, maybe a little bit longer, that I wanted to put together an actual band, play with the same guys every time. And last July I found the missing piece, which was my lead guitarist, and it has just been a blast since putting those guys together. We have so much fun, and they're such amazing musicians that I feel so lucky. I'm so grateful that I made that decision.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Let me ask you now. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was curious, as a band, do you stay busy like in your area locally, or are you regional? I mean, what type of performing geography do you have?
We're regional. I mean, we right now, the biggest draw that I have is local. So we try to do a local band gig once or twice a month. And then I'm trying to spiral out from here doing Central Texas and beyond. So we're just really ramping up right now. So
that's cool. That was kind of my question. One is that it, if you have to build a band every time, I imagine that that's a little bit of a barrier to wanting to play. Like, you would only do it when you felt like you were compelled to do so. But now I wonder if you are feeling like you have to keep the momentum going to keep the band moving forward. Is it a different kind of expectation on your part, do you think?
It's 100% what you just said. But also the difference is that my musicians are so good and I love playing with them so much that I want to book them. I want to keep them busy. Awesome. So it's not like a burden on me. It's like, I'm really excited. Yeah. Where I used to just resist booking, like it was the worst task. Like, I'd rather clean toilets with my tongue than try to book shows. But now I'm like, I can't wait to call a venue and be like, you guys got to have us in. You're not going to believe the show that you're going to see. So.
Oh, that's really great. Do you ever live record your shows? Is that something that we would be able to see or find out there somewhere?
I haven't really. I'll record, like, I do a lot of acoustic duo shows around here. This area is really singer songwriter heavy. So, the bulk of the shows that I'm doing are acoustic duo type stuff. But I do record those on occasion. I live stream to my friends of Alex Winter's private Facebook group every once in a while.
Of which I'm a member.
Which you're a member. So you can check out my amazing guitarist there. But the band, I've been trying to get a little bit of video every time we play and put it on YouTube, but we haven't done any live streaming or anything on the band scale just yet.
How about it in the studio? Do you have any music released?
As the band, with this particular band, no. In the past, I've, again, built the studio musicians around the project. So usually the studio has recommendations that they can make. Or for my last release, Black Roses, my friend is a phenomenal drummer. He was like, will you please let me build your band for this? He was like begging me to put the band together for the recording. And I was like, you got it. I trust you. You know, you bring in who you think would be good. And they were amazing.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a great song too.
Yeah, thank you. I recorded a handful of songs in a different studio here, where me and the producer did most of the instrumentation. But my drummer is actually on a handful of the recordings. So working on getting them into the studio, but we haven't all made it yet.
So you're working on new music now with your solid band?
Well, so I have the songs written. I'm working on figuring out what studio we're going to use next. So
cool. So you don't do any home recording except for maybe demo purposes, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I do. I do some stuff in GarageBand. That's what I use, and it works pretty well for my purpose. Sometimes it's just guitar and vocals, just so I can, you know, I'll record something quick and then I'll send it to them. Or I'll bring it to rehearsal and play it for them, and then they'll, you know, jam around it, and we'll figure out what happens there. But I really like to work with a producer. I like somebody to actually produce me, because I don't really necessarily have that vision when I write a song. Mm. So having somebody
who can—that's interesting. I don't hear that a lot.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah, I think that some people probably could use a producer, but they don't think they need a producer.
I think a lot of people could use a producer.
So what I don't hear people knowing that about themselves, that they don't lack a higher level of vision.
No, I get that. I think that experienced artists get that. You know, that's something that initially there's, and I maybe this is harsh, but I think there's an ego barrier to get through to that point.
I didn't want to say that, but yes, I know there is.
And you know, and there's probably other reasons too, but I think at some point when you're open to accepting outside ideas and considerations and suggestions, that, you know, you've opened up a new level of I was going to use the term production, you know, but that's what it is.
Right.
when you allow someone to produce you in that way, you know? And especially if you trust them and you like the work that they do and they're it's aligned with you. And
very important. That's important.
Yeah. You know, obviously they got to be, have the same kind of ideas that you like. Maybe they're not ideas that you have your own, but they're the stuff that they do that you're like, wow, that's awesome. You know, you have that reaction that.
Right. But really also, if you're paying them, you're going to be more open. They're going to be more open to telling you the truth, which I think I see a lot of kind of like amateur musicians that solicit opinions from people. But then the people are like afraid to say the real, you know, they're afraid to say, you know what, you're flat or you're, you know, like they're afraid to give them the real opinion that they have. They just want to kind of say, oh, yeah, it sounds good.
Mm-mm,
and that's not really. Yeah. Doesn't help anybody really.
It's not helpful at all. And you get subpar product when you don't have somebody in the room who can be honest with you. And the thing is don't take it personally.
Yeah.
You know, I think
that's the ego part.
You're doing that's a job. Part.
Everybody thinks that it's their musical baby. You know, I don't want to change it. Well, you know,
and it
your
is.
Baby's ugly, dude.
Your baby's ugly. Your baby sucks. You need to murder that thing. Could you just take this in that back alley and put it in the dumpster, please? That'd be great.
Dumpster baby.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. But that's great. You've been around a while, and I know that you know about yourself what your strengths and limitations are, and I think that's great. And I love that you love working with a producer and that you're so happy with your band right now. It makes me happy to hear.
I know,
and I'm
right?
I'm really looking forward to hearing what you come up with.
A couple years ago, I was super frustrated and really beating myself up over the kinds of shows that I was producing. I mean, I was frustrated with where I was at, and I didn't know how to get past it. And I had to let a lot of things go, and I had to really revamp my expectations, and I had to get really clear on what it was that I wanted to be doing with my time. And it's like one of those things where talking about production, like it's not that I can't produce myself.
Right.
I just don't want to. Like, that's not, I don't want to, like, I listened to your guys' very first episode. I've been listening to all the back episodes, which are amazing, by the way. And you talked about, all the plugins that you guys use and like how you go down these rabbit holes. And I do the same thing. Even when I'm goofing off in GarageBand, like I just produced, I sometimes do these songwriting workshops where I teach people how to use GarageBand to help further their songwriting. And so sometimes that involves using loops and drums and, you know, synths and just playing with different sounds and helping you suss out your idea. And I totally forgot my point. That's amazing.
Well, the rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. And so, like, I go down this synth rabbit hole for, you know, 4 hours trying to find the perfect.
I could do that for 4 weeks.
Right? So trying to find the perfect
there
loop.
You've identified something that you're actually interested in, but you try to avoid it because
yeah.
So much time.
Yeah.
I mean, I get, that's a good point. That's a good point.
It's like a bag of Oreos that you think you're going to eat one, and then you've eaten the whole bag of Oreos.
You never do. It's never just one Oreo.
There's no such thing as one Oreo.
Not.
What does that even mean?
No.
So
psychopaths.
You know, you open up the bag of Oreos and you look up and you're like, I'm about to do a line.
Exactly. Ooh, a line of Oreos. That sounds really good right now, you guys.
quick aside to touch on something you just mentioned, which is you teach classes on GarageBand?
Yeah, I do. Well, it's not really, I call it a workshop.
Okay.
Because what we do.
But what I'm.
Go ahead, ask your question.
Oh, so what I'm thinking is, because I didn't really ask this, but that implies to me that you're kind of diversifying your income streams, as they say in the biz. And you're not just making money from gigging and from Spotify streams.
Oh,
but,
God.
But you're also doing things like teaching workshops.
Yeah. I teach workshops. I also teach guitar lessons, don't like basic guitar lessons.
Did not know that.
Yeah, and I also have part-time, I have very part-time work with a couple of other people. One of the things that when I went full-time that I didn't understand was that I missed getting a task and finishing the task and then handing it back to someone else.
Oh, yeah.
Because like
I'm very task oriented. I totally get that.
But like when you're self-employed and everything that you do it's your whole world and it's everything's on your shoulders and everything relies on you. But when somebody goes, "Hey, can you send an email out to so and so for me with this information in it?" You're like, "Yeah." And then you send out an email and then it's done.
And then it's done, yeah. Right?
There's no residual tasks. It's not dependent on anything else. It's like fucking done.
Right.
Hey, I would like to invite you to join me on some Sunday on Audio Mix Chat, which is like the DIY music chat, but I do on Sundays. And sure. Perhaps talk about GarageBand or something along those lines that you enjoy that you might want to share and let other people know about the workshops that you do and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, the workshop that I do, I'll just try to quickly explain the format. Like, it's small group. It's in person. I haven't done any online yet, but I might be open to that in the future. But basically what happens is we all get in a room and we open GarageBand and we write a song together.
Cool. Right on.
And so we employ the loops in GarageBand and the drums and we all have input. We all, you know, somebody's usually a wordsmith and they're like, "Ooh, let's put this in the song." And so my goal is by the end of the afternoon, we all have a finished product, at least finished enough that I can mix it and, you know, send it back, give them an MP3 back. So,
that's very cool.
It's really fun and I love doing them and I look forward to doing more of them.
What kind of ages come to these workshops?
Any age. The youngest I've had so far is, I think he was 11. And cool. The oldest,
right on.
Yeah. So that kid was awesome. His name's Parker, and he did this. He didn't participate too much in like the wordsmithing. I had another gal here who's amazing at words, and she was like pooping out lyrics, just like blah blah blah. I was like, "This is amazing. Can you just come every day and give me lyrics? That'd be awesome." So, but Parker. He plays violin and guitar, and he's pretty good at playing his lap. So he did this part where he was doing this rhythm, just like slapping his knees, and we all just like looked at him, and we were like, "That sounds amazing!" And so I mic'd him doing this percussion thing on his knees, and we put it in the song, and it was.
Oh wow!
It was super cool. It came out really awesome. We put some
that is very cool.
Put some robotic effect on it, and some you guys will appreciate this from the mixing standpoint. I duplicated the channel, and then I put like a robotic effect on one, and then I put another. I forget what the other one was. It's some other effect on the other one, and I blended the two together.
Yeah,
and it sounded so cool. It like made the song, and then he did some violin on it, just like some simple like single note rhythmic stuff that we mixed into the chorus, and it was a blast.
I love it.
And then I think the oldest person that I've had in here is 50, late 50s. Yeah.
Cool.
So hey, we're just about out of time.
Sad face.
I had just one quick question more, which was that even at the beginning of this conversation, I didn't understand that going full time as a musician didn't just mean gigging. It means everything that you're doing, but it's music related, but it's not all just you as an artist doing artist things. It's doing other music related things as well.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, gigging around here, I mean, it's consistent money, but it's not always enough to pay the bills, and you don't always have a gig every, like I try to book Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If I can do that, then I'm good. But it doesn't always pan out that way. So it's nice to have something to kind of level out that income in between the shows.
We just want to say thank you so much for coming on our podcast, Alex. I really appreciate you being here, and also for your kind words about our past shows. It's nice to know that somebody's listening.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to being on the audio mix chat.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thanks again, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Have a good one.
All right.
All right, take care.
Thanks. Cheers.
Well, that's it for another episode of the Indie Music Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, leave us a comment or a review and share with your friends. Hit us up on our website at indiemusiccast.com. Find myself on Twitter at Mojo's Army. Find Douglas on Twitter at Rezo Studio. Thanks. Until next time, keep creating.